Oh, boy. Just when you thought we were having a lot of rodent trouble down here, Sean. Happy fucking happy hour. It's the squirrel lady, Betsy Salkind, comedian extraordinaire. Oh, my God. I haven't seen you in so long.
I know.
But you got to get right up on that microphone. I don't want to miss one pearl. Hi, honey.
Hi.
We did stand up like 1,000 years ago.
That's what she said.
I know. I couldn't remember when we last saw each other.
We have a mouse in here, which is what the reference was to more rodent
trouble.
Do
you really?
Yes. Yes. Wow. Well, no, he's probably still currently here.
They're very cute.
But it's your family. It's your family.
It is my family.
I told Sean, because he's a youngin, I said, if you have not seen Betsy Salkind do Squirrel Lady, it is seared in your memory banks. For how long have we, has it been like 20 years?
We've seen, at least.
Right?
Because did we meet here or New York?
I think New York.
Okay, so, and I've been out here for 21 years.
Okay, so Squirrel Lady, Sean, you could see it 20 times and you'd still be like, more! Squirrel Lady! Like, she does all this brilliant, amazing, she's been a writer for everybody, Roseanne, books, this actress, amazing, and everyone's like, squirrel, squirrel, squirrel!
Yeah.
What? It is uncanny. It is almost like you're channeling a squirrel. It's not just, right? I mean, how did you study a squirrel that closely too?
You know, I love animals and yeah. I mean, really it just started because I'm a messy eater and had terrible table manners, and I was actually eating a cookie in a rehearsal for a sketch comedy group I was in.
Right.
And I was just messing around and they were like, you have to do that on stage. I'm like, no one's going to think it's funny but us. But they were right.
Cut to Freebird, lighter, and squirrel lady.
And I'll do it for like, you know, a long time. And I was like, how did you, must spend all your time watching squirrels. And I think a lot of people must, or they wouldn't know I'm doing it right.
Right. No, you're like, you're the fucking freak, not me.
The freaky part is that to people is that I don't laugh when I'm doing it. And that's because I am the squirrel.
How many times have you performed Squirrel Lady?
Thousands, I would say.
Do you get tired? Yeah.
I don't, because it's it's very different. It's, well, I shouldn't say very different. It's a little bit different every time because it's, I react to the audience.
Right.
So, and there's no lines to remember, so that's always fun.
Right. How long does it go? Because it seems like it's long for a visual impression, but it's like you want it to be longer when you watch it.
It could be 4 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a, Sean, it's a fucking performance piece. Now, we're saying, because we're an audio podcast and video cast, and some people only have the audio.
Okay.
I feel like we just need to do like an abbreviated
squirrel. Okay, we can do a quick one. And then those who...
Because, and you used to do matzo, but now you have a lot of dietary things.
No gluten, so now I do a toasted brown rice tortilla.
Okay. Because seeing her eat a matzo this big, Sean, is also a thing.
Yeah, and the tortillas... equally large.
Right. And also, I didn't want to, frankly, go through the cleanup of having you eat the entire matzo.
You'd be surprised at how many clubs don't want me to do it because of that.
Yeah.
They forget they're a comedy club.
It's a lot of Yeah. Well, you know what? The good thing now is we still have the mouse, so he'll clean it up later.
That's true.
When you're done.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah. Okay. All right, ladies and gentlemen, Betsy Salkind, here is the squirrel. Cha-ching. Lots of people buying video casts.
Yes.
Okay, that's fantastic. Okay. So, but was that pretty good? Okay, all right. We apologize to those of you that only
they
have the audio.
They can find it on YouTube.
But get the
they
video.
They can find it on YouTube.
Yeah, you can. Because when the 4 minute thing, Sean, it's a lot of spitting it all out, and just
there's a lot of nuance.
They're very nervous. The squirrel's very nervous. And why do they do that thing where they twirl it around several times? Whatever it is, they're.
That's a good question.
Yeah, was a detail that I had not noticed until I saw you do it with squirrels. Then not only are they nervous and they are looking around and spitting stuff out, which seems like a lot of stress. It's like they probably eat like Chris Christie.
Yeah.
A lot of stress eating.
They do eat like Chris Christie, but they somehow only pack on the weight sometime in the year as opposed to all year.
Yeah. Right. Because they mostly spit it out of nervousness because there's a sound or something.
Or they hide the food and then, like they store it in their cheek, and then they hide it somewhere.
Right.
And then they might remember where they put it.
Right. Right. Do you think, do squirrels get Alzheimer's? Do they get early onset? Or are they like, God damn it. Where the fuck did I put that acorn?
I feel like I've heard something about that. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
They forget like half of them.
Yeah. Hmm. And then we get trees.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I think you said that once, that New Yorkers call them just rats and trees.
Well, actually, they call them a fucking rat in a tree.
Fucking rat.
Yeah.
I mean, whatever. Bushy, pretty tail. It's a fucking rat.
It's fucking rat in a tree.
All right. Sean, we've had a lot of really wildly inappropriate people on the Happy Hour podcast.
Yeah.
Betsy Salkin, this is going out on a limb, is probably the most wildly... You once starred in, let's start with the one woman show, Anne Frank Superstar, which is
it's a satire of Anne Frank's exploitation.
Okay. Okay. In Hollywood.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
It's really, it's about a 10-year-old girl, or 11, and she gets a development deal in Hollywood.
Right.
And she ends up being cast in a sitcom about Anne Frank in the attic called Let's Be Frank. And it all goes terribly wrong.
Uh-huh.
But it's not really offensive unless, I mean, some people might think it would be. And it's a little edgy, but it's really making fun of how Hollywood exploits the Holocaust and Anne Frank specifically.
I somehow feel like you would, we covered this today, I feel like you would think it's funny that they're playing Pokemon Go in the Holocaust Museum and at Auschwitz.
Oh, yeah.
That seems like that, like you would have thought of that if it wasn't already happening.
I'm going to have to put that in the update.
Yeah.
Of the show.
Yeah. And people are like, well, we didn't come here to play. We're just not going to stop because you got to catch them all.
Right. Well, because, you know, if you don't catch them, he could kill some Jews, I guess.
Right. It's Arlington. My dad's buried in Arlington. They're doing it at Arlington, putting fucking Squirtle.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just saying. Now, because I don't know where to start with your inappropriateness. Where should we start?
Oh.
Why are you, what's wrong with you? You said you've been wearing a dress lately so that you can
I wear a
get
dress
away
on
with
stage because it's a little disarming. And then the audience thinks, oh, she looks nice.
Aww.
And that way, when the horrible things come out of my mouth, I can get away with it a little better.
Right.
Because they already like me.
Right. Is there ever just like springtime for Hitler faces and then squirrel, squirrel, dude, like just get that out of our head, whatever you just said.
You know what, where I've really, usually everybody loves the squirrel, but if I get to the end and I make people wait till the end for the squirrel.
Right.
And they don't laugh at the squirrel, then it's bad.
Yeah, that's bad.
That's bad.
More the Friday night crowds.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Because the Friday crowds are tired.
Yeah.
And the Saturday
crowds
are
I was reading an interview about your worst ever stand-up London Comedy Store.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. You said it was Saturday night. I went on at midnight after the regular show. Audience is extremely drunk by then. I was a feminist, an American, very much pre-Obama.
Oh, it was during Reagan.
Reagan Bush. Yeah.
Yeah.
Where people pretended to be Canadian.
Right.
They were yelling, throwing pints of beer.
Yep.
Wow. You cut your set short and you cried in the alley.
Yes. Oh, and I said, I'm never going to do it again.
That's so sad.
But I didn't quit.
And then suddenly a squirrel appeared beside me. Like in an animated Disney film.
I don't think I was doing the squirrel back then because that might have been good.
Yeah.
Yeah. They might have allowed that.
Yes. What? So I hear from your bio, you are an actress, comedian, writer, former drummer for the Pheno Barbie Dolls.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We were a terrible band.
Right.
It was my high school.
Oh,
everybody had a punk band at the time, and
you know, Barbie Dolls is an awesome name for one, though.
Thank you, and we did it. We had a great name, and we made a movie called Barbie Graduates, and it was like half us and half actual Barbie dolls, and we weren't supposed to be able to tell which was which, and we didn't do our own soundtrack.
Right,
that's how bad we were musically.
So you were a band. This was a thing about a band, and you didn't play the band.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We had good music in our soundtrack.
Fred, Fred, look, squirrel. Fred, it's a squirrel. Fred just came down here and spotted you.
Hi, Fred.
So you were a founding member of Terrorist Bridesmaids.
Yes. Four comedians determined to get a second use out of those dresses.
Good for you.
Did you? Yeah. And that, of course, was pre-9/11 when you could have terrorists in your title, and it was
funny.
Funny.
Still funny.
Yeah.
That's when terrorism was funny. I remember. Yeah.
You know, I was just thinking, I just read this article about how that ISIS, and they like, if to be killed by a woman is, they won't go to heaven or whatever right. their heaven is.
Right.
Because that is horrible. That's like the worst thing that could happen to them is to be killed by a woman. So if Hillary wins, or when Hillary wins,
yeah.
then it's going to be bad for them.
That's true.
Wow, maybe they'll just all kill themselves.
Yeah.
Hillary wins. Good. Either way, Hillary wins. Oh, you brought a bumper sticker. Don't be a huge idiot. Vote for Hillary. That's nice. That's nice. Are you a Hillary gal?
I am.
I am. Yeah, me too. Me too.
I am.
Yeah.
I'm rational.
Sorry. I just coughed up popcorn.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I apologize. Okay, let's talk about, because people don't know, you got to go to the YouTubes. Betsy Salkin is fucking hilarious. You were famously a staff writer for Saturday Night Special, Roseanne. This is my favorite part, a joke writer for Anthony Robbins.
Yeah.
So did you write the hilarious jokes he tells when people walk over the hot coals?
No.
Or whatever?
And I did that once and burnt my feet. But anyway.
Well, a lot of fucking people did, because guess what? That. You're not supposed to
I was told
fucking
I had the wrong attitude. It's like, of course I do it. I'm a comedian. I've been up for 12
attitude
hours.
Like I
Leave me alone.
Fucking get third degree burns.
Yeah.
I just wrote jokes for him when he went on Politically Incorrect.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, there he is calling.
Telephone.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Sorry, I forgot to turn that off. Sorry about that.
That's all right.
Okay. He is a nice guy. I felt bad. We mocked him because of all the people that got burned at the fire.
But you know what? He has
a
good sense of
back.
Humor about himself.
Yeah, he does.
That was what was nice about writing for him is he would make fun of himself.
Yeah, but people shouldn't walk on fucking hot coals.
Clearly. Yeah. Clearly.
They were like, what the fuck? How were we supposed to know that was going to happen?
See, I knew that was going to happen because my dad once knocked over the thing and walked on it and burnt his feet.
Right.
So,
That's a weird connection.
Yeah, it wasn't on purpose.
That's a weird connection.
And, yeah.
How you happen to step on hot coals and then get burned.
Huh.
I'm not, I don't like heat.
No. So Roseanne, obviously,
who seems to have lost her mind. Finally.
What's going on, right?
I hate Hillary. I'm running.
I'm for Trump. No, she's not even running. She's for Trump.
Is she for Trump?
Yeah.
What's going on?
I don't know. I really...
You need to start running for her again. To write everything she says in her real life.
Yeah, she finally lost me on this one.
Yeah. She's... I don't know. Last time I had her on, she's like, Stephanie, try my nuts. I was like, okay. Macadamia nuts. You know, she's big on the nuts.
I know.
Maybe she's got a macadamia nut deal if Trump gets president.
Something, right? Maybe she supplies all the macadamia nuts for like the Trump properties or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. Something.
Ow.
We'll just do dueling Roseannes for the rest of the thing. No. Oh, I was reading. You were talking about what it was like. Aaron, this is like your job. It was mostly about the candy. You said mostly you ate. Roseanne fed you. There was a candy room.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Gained 10 pounds. You said you sat around all day eating. They had a candy room.
Yeah, Carrie Snow used to say we were like veal. You know, they pen us up and just feed us all day.
Writers.
Yes.
Carrie Snow, also hilarious.
Yes. We had so much fun. I mean, really, it was, they actually had a candy room.
Yeah.
That was tremendous.
Oh, my God, Aaron.
Just a whole room.
You have something to aspire to.
That's before I knew I was pre-diabetic. Which basically everyone is if you're not already diabetic.
Right. Well, that's what I'm getting these guys here. But I pay them I pay them in weed and candy.
Well,
it's the way it goes with student debt.
I mean, that's more than they pay some militaries.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Wait, here was one fun fact I love about the Roseanne thing. So she saw you. She wanted the squirrel for an ABC Hanukkah special, but it didn't happen because ABC decided it was too Jewish.
Yes, that's right.
The Hanukkah special or the squirrel?
No, the Hanukkah special.
Oh, okay. Because I thought it was the squirrel eating the matzah. It's like, that's too much Jew. No. The Hanukkah special is fine, but the Jew eating
the
Hanukkah matzah.
Special apparently was too Jewish. So.
Oh. Right. Well, a Hanukkah special would be.
I guess Jew is too Jewish.
I don't
know. Maybe. I don't know.
I once had a TV executive say to me and my head writer on some fucking show, he goes, do you have to make fun of things?
Yes,
we do. Comedy has to have targets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I once did, Liz Winstead and I met doing a supposedly feminist Saturday Night Live on PBS in Boston.
Right.
That was produced by Nova producers.
Right.
Who had no sense of humor.
Oh. Been there, done that. Yes.
We both got fired.
Oh, dear. Yeah, I, let's see. Oh, my late night show. That was my favorite story. I did some It was a Halloween show, so people in the audience were even in costumes, and the people dressed as Amish people, and I was like, hey, your buggy's double parked or whatever. And so, you know how it's live to tape, you know, late night. They don't stop. So they go, Stephanie, we have to stop down the technical. Bunch of Disney executives run up. They're like, we got it. We're afraid we're going to offend the Amish. And I was like,
they don't have TV.
Right. That's what I said. Because you're smart. Went right to the thing. That's what I was like, you know, they don't.
They're not going to be watching.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. And then but the bad Amish, the Jack Amish, are going to see it.
And then one of my guests was Kinky Friedman. And I was like, wow, that's a weird name. Where'd you get that? And he goes, well, it was originally Kinky Big Dick Friedman. And they kept that in. There's no stop, no nothing.
Oh, that's funny.
And then you know, like, your show's going to get canceled when the sound guy is funnier than you because everyone's on the headsets, all the cameramen. He's like, well, I guess Big Dick won't offend the Amish. And so that got the biggest laugh of the night. The camera guy was like, that was fucking aces, man. Good. Okay. I don't know where to start with the... Okay. We already went over the Anne Frank, blah, blah, blah. You were Andy Kindler's Taekwondo sparring partner?
Yes.
I don't... What?
Andy's a black belt now.
Really?
Yeah, I made it to green and then decided I really needed to be less aggressive. So I switched to yoga.
Wow.
But yeah, we were actually the only two students.
Wow.
We studied with a former Vietnam vet in his garage. But it wasn't like his own garage. He lived in an apartment building. Wow. So it was like the building's garage.
Yeah.
So we'd be sparring, be like, car, and then we'd run over to the side and wait.
Yeah. Okay. I just feel like you could take Andy Kindler in a bar fight, but you know, maybe in a martial art if he has training.
He's really like he stands up straight now. It's like amazing.
Wow.
Yeah. He's lost his comedy posture.
Okay, you hang your own drywall? What's that about?
That is stupidity, is what that is. I bought a house that was turned out to be unlivable.
Okay.
But it was a repo, so the banks don't have to tell you anything.
Oh,
so they didn't.
Oh, wow.
It wasn't even listed as a fixer, but it was. And so I became the general contractor.
And you learned these skills?
Where? Yes, on the job.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. It's improv, Sean. It's more improv.
It was totally improv.
Yeah.
And we had a motley crew of unlicensed and moonlighting people and treated it like a film. An indie film project. We had craft services, and we fed the crew so they would stay. Because usually what happens is they'll come do a job, and they leave at lunch, and then you never see them again.
Yeah. I get him here. Yeah. Purple drink.
Yeah.
Candy. Weed.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, so we did a lot of it ourselves, and then it turns out not to be... It turns out I'm a really good boss.
Right.
But I'm not good at I would hire more subcontractors in the future.
Right.
Because I have very lumpy walls now.
Looks like there's bodies
but it sounded
and drugs
good.
And shit in there.
You should say that because it was a grow house in the 70s.
Oh, yeah.
And we found like a secret compartment with.
So you don't have like insulation. You have like bags of weed.
Well, yeah.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. All right.
And Arby's wrappers we found in the walls, too.
LAPD? That is... Okay. There's bags of weed in the walls of Betsy Salkin's house.
It's medical.
What? You have 28 teeth now? What? Yeah. How many were you supposed to have?
Well, a full set for human now is 32.
Oh.
But...
Matzo-related? Squirrel-related?
No. I don't have any wisdom teeth.
Oh.
I guess either I didn't need them or I just don't have any. But I was born...
And oddly, you have an Ivy League degree.
Yes. Yeah.
Sans wisdom teeth.
Yeah.
That's right.
Think about it.
I had two removed, and the other two, I was just born without.
Wow.
Yeah. Evolution, which I really hope I can start believing in come November.
That's fantastic. Yeah. Yes. Yes.
So that's been on hold.
Yeah. You've been political all your life, right?
Yeah.
Rabble rouser.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought I was radical, but... But
now I don't. Okay, because we haven't seen each other in a while. I missed something here. So I'm reading from Curve magazine, a lesbian magazine. Betsy Salkin is that rare comic who transcends sexual identity, winning all hearts and mind gains straight alike. Although she's no longer a former member of our team. What did I miss you being?
How
a member
do I
of
no
our
longer
team?
Be former?
I don't. Wait. I don't. What? And you just said, I've been a lot happier since I stopped defining myself sexually. What does that mean? Are you...
Well, let's see. It, it,
wait, they thought you were gay and you're not?
I was confused. An out lesbian comic, but I was really in the closet as a straight person.
Like, you pretended to be gay?
I had secret boyfriends. Yeah, sort of. I mean, I really wanted to be.
Are you a lesbian?
I had girlfriends and everything.
You were a lesbian and you licked it? Is that what you Betsy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, okay. I was just.
Oh, you did have girlfriends.
I did. Okay. I had girlfriends and boyfriends and whatever. And, but I really, you know, wanted to be a lesbian. I actually came out to my mother and I said, Mom, I'm a lesbian. She's like, you are not.
You're always such a
faker. She says, you're a political lesbian. That's different. So basically at a certain point, I finally realized, you know, I'm not going to grow out of this. I thought that my, you know, interest in men was just a weakness I would outgrow.
Right.
And it didn't happen. And then I finally thought this is.
Right. Actually, so you had to come out of the straight closet.
I did.
Yeah. Okay. I'm sorry for your pain.
Yeah, I know.
Sorry about the whole liking dick thing.
I didn't say that.
Okay. Well, oh, all right. Well, speaking of your mother, I just love this part. You said you get your sense of humor from your mother. When I was growing up, she refused to bake. She said, well, just eat it.
Yep.
Like uncooked? She would make you eat?
No.
Like Christina Crawford?
She wouldn't cook it. She wouldn't bake after, you know.
But it's like Gilda Radner, like licking that piece of raw meat.
We just ate it, and so there was nothing. Why should I do it? You're just going to eat it, and then it will be gone. That was her attitude.
So she didn't cook it?
She didn't cook it to begin with. She never made it.
Oh.
It was like, we never got to dessert, really.
Because you were in the ER with salmonella, I assume.
No, usually because my dad had, you know, had decided to beat someone before that.
Oh,
so,
dear.
Yeah. Oh, sorry.
Oh, dear. So, did you think this was going to get lighter? Oh, no, this is getting darker. This was just the warm-up. You initially were going to call your memoir They Fucked the Wrong Kid.
Yeah, well, I still haven't written it yet. So
oh, okay.
It could
so that's still
be
in
that.
The, that's still
yeah,
in the works.
It could still be
okay.
That.
Okay. So you are the author of More Than Once Upon a Time, a short illustrated children's style book that tells the story of a child who's raped by her father and his friends, but manages to overcome it and then ruin his life.
Yeah, and it ends like happily ever after.
It does. Yeah. It doesn't seem like there could be any other ending.
Yeah, no, it's really kind of uplifting.
So you thought that the Anne Frank superstar was going to be, you thought that was the dark part of this? Okay, no. Okay, so what, okay, because you also did the hilarious Betsy Sunday School Bible Classics. Which you just restored all the really dark, terrifying parts of the Bible?
Yeah. Well, they're actually, I took the stories that most of us know, like Abraham and Isaac or Noah's Ark. And, and I actually went and researched what they really were in the Bible. And they're really a lot darker than most of us think they are because they take away a lot of that stuff so kids won't be afraid.
Right.
So I put all that back and then I illustrated it.
Fantastic.
And I give voice to the women, the children, and the animals.
Now,
and there's actually a bunch of them are sort of animated and they're on YouTube. No. So really fun.
That makes it all better. Animation makes it all better. So, all right. I don't, because we haven't seen each other in a while. I just hate to get, but so
I guess I've been busy in those 20 years.
So I take it you were the victim of sexual abuse.
Yes, I was.
Okay. And so is that what that's based on? The book?
Yeah, sort of. I mean, it is, it's not like a memoir. It's not, you know, it starts with some autobiographical stuff, but then it kind of, because it starts with Once Upon a Time and ends with Happily Ever After, you know, I had to create a story that fit that structure.
Yeah.
So it does. And there's, you know, so it's sort of, I wouldn't say universal story, but close to it.
Yeah.
I mean, given the numbers of people who are
And it was
abused,
it your dad or
it was more than him.
Oh,
it was,
wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
It was like the group from the town. It's lovely.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow.
Yeah.
You grew up in you were born in Troy, New York. Where is that? I'm from Buffalo.
It's upstate somewhere. I don't know.
Me too. I was from Lockport, which is also upstate somewhere. Doesn't matter. Okay. Oh, so then you were raised in Connecticut and Virginia.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So, but you don't remember, because, I was born in D.C., but we moved when I was three, so I don't remember D.C.
Yes. So, yeah. Exactly.
Okay. So you remember, where do you remember?
Connecticut and Virginia.
Oh, both of them. Okay.
Yeah.
What, Wow. And so...
So the story's really... I mean, I become an activist in child protection stuff. So
no, I've seen that, yeah.
So it was a lot of it was taking all the elements of... Because it turns out it's the same story for everybody. And I think, you know, people tend to treat sexual assaults or sexual abuse as, you know, oh, it's an individual problem or it's a mental health problem or whatever. And it's a political problem.
How so?
Because it's people who have power using that to use and abuse other people who don't have power.
I was just, I mean, just today it came out about, you know, Jerry Sandusky, and the Paterno knew way before that, and other people knew way before that.
Yeah, and everybody knew about Cosby, which I love that that's now a verb.
Yeah. Cosby'd. Yeah.
Yep. And everybody knows what that means now.
Right. You know? Right. And wasn't it like an open secret in Hollywood?
It really was.
You know.
It was. And but somehow those, you know, 50 plus women, oh, they're all lying whores. And so.
Right.
And oddly enough, now people still think each one of those women is still a lying whore. But somehow we also believe he's a rapist.
Right. Right.
Which is progress. I guess.
Even though, or gold diggers, even though they're not going to get anything out of it. And it's, you know.
So I see all of these as a political issue. You know, if this is as widespread as it is.
Yeah.
And it's clearly, you know, some groups have power and some don't. That's what it needs, how it has to be addressed.
Yeah. What, how old were you?
Very young, like pre-verbal to 10.
And was your father in, who else?
Well, there was a ring in the town that I lived in.
Wow.
I haven't really, you know, talked about any of that on the air or anywhere.
Sorry. Yet,
but no, that's all right. It's out now. No, someday I will.
No, I mean, I hadn't read all the details. I've heard, you know, obviously of it, but...
But
you know, it's so
a lot of it's organized. It's
no, like, but that's the thing that's coming out now about the Sandusky thing and others, that they're going, yeah, there are rings and there are judges involved.
It's basically,
and people,
you know, in the same way that, that, you know, maybe survivors will identify each other. It's like, or, you know, oh, do you go to, or that people find other members of their group.
Yeah.
That the perpetrators do the same thing, you know.
Yeah.
And they find each other and they share, like how the priests pass the kids around or they, you know.
Right.
I call it organized crime child abuse.
Yeah.
Because it is. It's that organized.
I think you're right. That is amazing how prevalent it probably is. And people, but it's just such a dark little secret that people, I mean, you saw, what's the movie? Famous movie about the...
Spotlight.
Spotlight. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's...
Yeah. Right, exactly.
I mean, I grew up in Catholic school. I don't know. I know you...
I joke about going to Catholic school, but I never actually went.
Yeah.
I just say I went. It was awful, you know, being a Jew and all. They wouldn't let me take communion. They said, you killed him. You can't eat him, too.
I love your stand-up career includes an early banning in Boston where you perform The Emperor's Getting Fucked, a short piece about misogyny, racism, and viciousness in the comedy clubs. It's so funny because we do the Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour, and that's exactly how it started because we said, like, to us, the comedy clubs are so racist, sexist, and homophobic. This is making fun of the racist, sexist, and homophobes and proving it's even funnier because you're absolutely right, right? I mean,
that was at the height of Andrew Dice Clay and that whole type of comedy. And it was such a perfect setup because the night I just decided to do this, and Boston was like, you know, they would have one working woman comic at a time. And I actually wasn't
Remember,
her.
Remember we were in the day when they were like, oh, we can't have a woman. We
had
one last month.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm. So they had one and it wasn't me, but it was a friend of mine. And, I said, look, I'm done with the clubs, but I want to do this one last performance. And this is what I want to do.
I'm going out with a bang, motherfucker.
Yeah. And she said, and then I waited and the next day I sobered up and I still wanted to do it. So she actually helped me with it. She directed it and she said, don't tell anyone I had anything to do with this. But she was totally supportive of it. And the night that I did it, it was at the Comedy Connection, I think it was.
Yeah.
And there were 5 comics on the show. All the rest were men, white men.
Right.
And I was the 4th one, I think. And all the comics who went on before me did everything I talked about in my set. So it was such a perfect setup.
Wow. Wow.
And then I was banned from there and actually the comedy group that I was in was also banned because I was in that group. And
Anyone ever associated with you that ever had even been on a bus with you?
Yes.
We're banned for life. Yeah.
But it was actually, it ended up being a good thing.
She don't go down easy. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. She's gonna fucking blow that shit up. So wait, the other part I didn't know about you. You graduated from MIT with a BS and a master's degree from the Sloan School of Management. You left your career as a Federal Reserve Bank examiner to become a comedian. What the fuck?
I know.
Well, wait a minute. What? So, wait, first of all, siblings? Tell me the
siblings?
Yeah, did you have siblings? What did your parents
do? I have three brothers.
Okay.
One is now a criminal defense attorney. One is a veterinarian. And one is a retired pizza delivery guy.
Okay. Okay. But, okay. So, but you went, I mean, it is kind of amazing, given what obviously your background was, that you went to fucking MIT. And what were you thinking? Your career was going to be, what is a...
No, you know, it was just weird because I was super good at math and I didn't get in anywhere else. And,
I know how that goes. Oh, shit. Only MIT? Okay.
And I never visited the place because I had no intention of ever going there. Wow. And, anyway, that's
Don't you love that, ladies and gentlemen, that happens to you getting to MIT by accident? And then you gotta go because...
You don't have a safety school.
Right.
Yeah.
Safety school. Oh, well. Okay.
And they didn't have a theater department, so...
Did you think you wanted to be a performer then?
Oh, yes.
Oh, you did.
All along, yeah.
But what was the whole thing about the Fed... What the fuck is a Federal Reserve Bank examiner?
Okay. Did you see the movie It's a Wonderful Life?
Yes.
Okay, so the bank examiner is the one who comes in and ruins their lives because he finds, like, oh my God, the money's
fantastic.
Gone.
You're like,
and
there was people a squirrel. Have ruined my life. I'm going to ruin other people's lives.
There was
lives.
A squirrel in that scene, actually.
Oh,
oddly enough. There's the connection.
Oh my God, it's all magically full circle.
Exactly. But, I mean, the bank examiner is the one who's supposed to make sure that the banks are following the regulations and, you know, you go in and you look at their loan portfolios and
so you were Dodd-Anne Frank.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Fantastic. So. Wow.
But not for long.
Wow.
I mean, I really, it was.
But
like
so you
year.
Guys all became successful even with this background in your family and, right? I mean, it's a kind of a. But then when did you decide? You're like, you know what? Fuck
but
this.
But that shit happens to everybody. Like, it doesn't matter. You know, people think it's related to poverty, or it's not. It's in every level of society. And in fact, you know, the people who are white and have money are less likely to ever be found out for these things.
Yeah. What did your parents do?
My father was in the weapons industry.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow. Like a defense contractor kind of thing? Okay.
Exactly.
Okay. And your mom?
And my mother was the housewife, although when I was about 15, she went to work, and she ended up working as a lobbyist and then a fundraiser. And
did she know what happened to you?
No.
Wow.
Yeah.
But does she now?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Wow, wow, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Now I understand more of the things I'm reading. I don't know when this was, but you were you're developing an animated series based on the lead character from Anne Frank's Superstar, as well as a comedic play about depression.
Yeah.
Have you done that yet? Or
no? I mean, I actually, you know, I am a little slow with some of these, but I did write the pilot for the kids show, and it's about the lead character from. The play is Ethel Spiliotis, and she has organized her Girl Scout troop into a revolutionary cell.
Oh.
And
wow. So now you are, obviously you've struggled with depression. Who can say why?
A little bit. Yes.
But you are a brilliant writer, comedian, actress. So personal life-wise, so you were with women, but was your mom right? That was just political?
She was kind of right, yeah.
Yeah. Don't you hate that when your mom's right?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. And so, how old were you when you went, you know what, I like dick?
Well, I was in my 30s when I finally, you know.
Okay.
Like, I remember having a boyfriend in my early 30s, and I was like, and he just hated, he's like, why won't you ever introduce me as your boyfriend? Why do you always have to say I'm your friend? And why can't we hold hands in public? And,
you're like, because you don't have a muff.
Yeah, you know, it's embarrassing.
I'm just paraphrasing. Did you say that? No?
It's not, you know, until everything's equal for everybody.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
But then, you know, I don't know. I finally
What did decided you feel? What did you feel when you were with women? Were you ever in love with a woman or no?
Yes.
Oh, you were.
But
okay.
Yeah.
Because I feel like sexuality's...
But the women that I was in love with were rarely the ones that I was actually dating.
But listen, you know, I'll tell you my whole thing.
I had
later,
issues with intimacy.
No,
okay?
Because I
it didn't matter.
I had to come out as gay. Like, I mean, I was, yeah. I mean, I dated men when I was younger, and I, yeah. you know, I didn't make up boyfriends or whatever. I just didn't talk about my sexuality. And then I finally
Well, same
did.
Here.
Yeah.
I didn't talk about it.
Yeah.
So everyone assumed I was a lesbian, and I just went with it.
Oh, you did?
Yes.
Oh, so you know why? Because you're an improv. And so you're like, yes, and. You can't fucking
but
help
it was
yourself.
Also,
you're like, okay, yeah,
it was
not
probably
really,
that,
but okay.
But it was also that I was a feminist and I just never found anything humorous about relationships, so I didn't talk about it.
There's not one goddamn funny thing about this. Yeah.
You know, well, and also back in the day, you know, now things are a little different, but there was a time where you either had to be gay or straight. There was no such thing as bisexual.
Right.
Which is probably how I would really define myself.
Right, except that I just had my heart and soul crushed by, I guess, a bisexual. But that's...
Yeah, no, they're horrible
it's kind
people.
Of a, it's kind
All of us are terrible
no,
people.
I think
but,
it was more the borderline thing with her. But that's not important now. What's important is... Because I think I've always believed that, there, you know, sexuality is a continuum. Some of us are gay, some are straight. A lot of us are somewhere, you know, been in love with men and women, been whatever, you know. So, but so you would... You would now categorize yourself as bisexual? Or?
If I had to pick one, yeah, I would.
Yeah.
But I, you know, I've been married to the same man for 15 years.
Oh, okay. And was the first marriage?
Yep.
Okay.
Although we say we went straight to the second marriage, so.
And this is after you've been with women and that doesn't bother him?
No. Okay. No, not at all.
Yeah. No, I, listen, I know a lot of women that
it
I.
Should, but it doesn't.
No. No, it should not. No, because trust me, in my experience, men don't hear gay. They hear three-way.
Right. Yeah.
Like, hot.
Yeah.
Hot. Can I watch? Right?
Yeah.
What's that about?
I don't know.
Yeah. All right. yeah, I mean, it's like, and lately there's been a lot of, I can't remember all bisexual actresses coming out and saying, oh, you know, I'm... Blah, blah, blah. And I'm fine with that. I just had a particularly bad experience with it.
Well, there was a time, though, where you know, everybody denied there was such a thing. Right.
Right.
And so that's why I was an out lesbian, because if you had to pick, were you going to be part of the straight community or the gay community?
Right.
Well, obviously, no one wanted to be part of the straight community. Or I didn't, you know, because I was a radical.
It's icky. Yeah.
I was a radical. I was a feminist. I was, you know, never going to get married and never going to have kids and... You know, and all my friends were gay.
Right.
So.
So no, wait. Oh, but you did it. You got married 15 years ago. Good for you.
Yeah.
Good for you. No, that, I mean, my parents are married for 40 years till my dad died. Like, my sister and her husband are going to be married 50 years. Like, I really believe in it and I really want that. And it hasn't been legal since I've been, you know, I mean, and I think, you know,
Get on it.
Listen, I thought I was going to. But, she was
Turned
both bisexual
bi.
And borderline.
Okay. Yeah.
And
yeah.
No, I mean, but it is interesting. It's like all of those issues are, you know, when you and I started in comedy or whatever, it just was, you know, it's interesting. Like, you would think, oh, that's going to hurt my career. I mean, when I did my late night show, they sort of marketed me as this, you know, sexy late night show for men. And I didn't really, but, you know, you don't have anything to do with your own marketing.
Right.
And... But I do think it's just, we've moved so far so fast, don't you think, in terms of this whole conversation, in terms of people just speaking their truth. And
And I think finally, you know, people's sexuality is less important in terms of who they are.
Right. Yes, I hope so. I hope so we get to a point where, I hope we get to a point where it's just not a fucking thing. Look at stem cells like him, they're like, what the fuck, who cares, you know? I mean, it's I don't know about you, but I didn't think we'd get to marriage equality in my lifetime.
And
so here we are, and still no one for me to marry. Okay, all right, let's work on it. So who's your guy, who's your husband?
His name is Michael Johnson.
Uh-huh.
And he's a whistleblower.
Does that mean professionally?
Well, I don't know if you can call it a profession if you don't make any money at it. But he, for 12 years, he was the public policy director of Blue Shield of California. And he resigned about a year and a half ago and went public about some of the shit they were doing.
Wow.
And now they're suing him. And it's all very exciting.
Wow. This is a couple of rabble rousers. You know, yeah. That's a thing.
And we laugh a lot.
You do? You know, that's important, don't you think?
Good. I mean, we both kind of shitsters and we have a good time.
Aw. That's fantastic. And but I remember in this reading this interview, so you felt like for a second you lost some fans because they were like, what? You said you were lesbian.
Actually, that happened even before that because, like I said, I was an out lesbian comic. And I actually was getting a lot of work.
Part. I knew Squirrel, fucking hilarious, Roseanne Ryder, whatever, and I missed the whole lesbian thing.
I was doing cruises. I was working. Wow. I was making a living, sort of. And... but then I was offered to do Comedy Central's like Out There special. I don't remember which one it was, and that's when I finally thought, okay, this is going too far.
Right.
You know, I'm taking a spot that someone else should have.
Right.
And so I didn't do that, and then that's when I guess I sort of came out.
Yeah, came out straight, which is
and I lost a lot of work.
Horrifying.
I really did.
It really is a weird reverse thing that not a lot of people live. Yeah.
I think for a stand-up woman, it was, you know, at least there was more work in the gay community for a lesbian comic. It wasn't as sexist, as the straight comedy world, So then I'm back to the pool where it's like one woman and 14 men.
No, and it's fascinating because people said to me, you know, when I was going to come out, I guess it was 2008. Well, I don't remember when it was, but. They were like, you know, but are you, maybe you're bisexual? And I was like, I don't think that's authentic for me. I mean, I have been in love with men. I've been with men when I was much younger, but I'm like, almost 20 years I've been, you know, in relationship or in love with women. And so, and a lot of the women I've been with have been with men, you know, and are pretty and feminine and whatever, but they're like, I love sex with men. I've been with men, but I fall in love with women.
Yeah.
So I think that's another part of the continuum that I understand, but. Anyway, I just think that you're right. I hope we get past this point where anybody has labels or judgment of any kind.
Yeah.
Like, who the fuck cares who you love? I have a very good friend who was with, you know, women, and then she married a man and had children and has been with men since then. And I have friends the opposite that have been married to men and, you know, have been now been with women partners for 20 years. Like, who the fuck cares what your label is or what you call it? Like, it's the whole love is love thing.
And now there's, like... there's asexual organizations for people who want to have relationships but are not interested in sex at all.
No, that's not me. I'm a giant whore. But my point is that, no, the hardest thing for me was not the who I was. She just didn't want to be out, and she didn't want to tell her family. She didn't want to, you know, and I get it that you go like...
Is this the borderline?
Yes. Yeah. But she... You know, it's hard to feel like someone's dirty little secret, whatever are. That you know, or that they're not ashamed of you, but they're ashamed of that part of themselves. Mm-hmm. And I always think that whatever you're in, like lying and hiding just doesn't work for anybody. It's just poisonous.
Yeah. So, yeah. I used to be like afraid that my friends from my different groups were going to meet each other and then they'd all hate me.
Right.
You know, and now I can actually have everyone at the same party.
Right.
It's really nice.
That is, it's so funny. I really did miss that part of your career because I've loved you and followed you forever, but I just sort of knew the whole early thing and I was like, wait a minute, gay? I didn't know she was gay. Really? and then I was like, oh no, she's not. Okay. But I think that's like kids, you know, when you look at the polling, because you're political, younger and younger, they don't fucking care.
Right.
They don't fucking care anymore what you are or identify as or who you love or what phase of your life you love whoever. Yeah, so let's hope we get there, right?
Yep.
I mean, it's hilarious to me that the Republicans literally have a platform that's against marriage equality. It's like, well, okay, you can be against gravity, but it's fucking here, and
you know, it's just whatever. Fear. It's just fear.
Yeah.
Of the millions of Mexican lesbians who are going to come here for green cards.
Yes. Yes. Droves.
Yeah.
Droves. You are not just a fucking delight, ma'am, but you are an inspiration because. We all go through some shit in life, but you went through, sounds like, a little more shit, and here you are. You're brilliant and successful and happy and married and... Fuck. Good for you.
Thank you.
What are you working on? What can we promote? What can we do? How can we help?
Oh, my. Well, there's even more that I probably isn't in there, but I am also now a Mayo Clinic certified health coach.
What does that fucking mean, Betsy Salkind?
I work with people on, you know, health and wellness, and I work with people, especially with thyroid disease and autoimmune issues, just to...
Because, ironically, having played a squirrel that eats anything, you don't eat hardly anything. Well, you said you're going to stay for the after party, but you're like, I don't
eat. I had some issues. Yeah. Yeah. I'm gluten-free now.
Okay. Because you have a celiac thing, yeah. And what else? Anything else is happening that we should know that...
I have Hashimoto's disease, which is autoimmune thyroid disease.
Oh.
Very common, actually.
Okay.
And, you know, under control. In fact, Hillary Clinton is hypothyroid also.
Really?
Which is, makes me so impressed with her.
What does that mean?
Because it makes you exhausted.
Oh.
You know, it really is. So.
Thank God she doesn't have a taxing schedule.
Yeah, exactly. Uh-huh. Exactly.
Yes. Thank God she's going into a stress-free type of job.
Yes. Exactly.
What does that mean? What do you what do you do for it? What is it?
Well, it's like my thyroid is underactive because my body thinks it's that my thyroid is foreign.
Oh,
It speaks with a different accent, but still, it's not foreign.
Can you build a wall around it?
I'm still working on getting the Mexicans to pay for it. So. It's it's just a matter of making sure I get the right amount of thyroid, but also calming down the immune system.
Oh. Well, you're going to have to fight him off with the fucking black bean burgers because I got the memo already.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. We'll have the fight.
All right.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. It's all good. We got that. Yeah. Aaron and I are carnivores.
Okay.
You know.
All right. So anyway, I'm doing that and I'm working on a program to actually work with teens. On health and wellness.
Yeah.
Because they're like all on like 1,000 psych meds and,
wow.
You know, they're,
yeah.
I mean, but the bigger issue is that, you know, we're not really educated to be involved in our own healthcare.
Right.
And that's what I really want to do is give people tools to, you know, be part of their own medical team, to really be the head of their own medical
team. We just had your friend and mine now, Suzanne Wong, on last week, who made stage 4 cancer her bitch.
That's right.
As she told us. But the same thing, just about questioning your doctor who tells you you're going to die in a week and taking, you know, control of your own destiny, right?
Yeah. So it's like having your own records, having your labs and understanding them. And then a lot of it is about, you know, like we all know we should eat better and exercise and all this, but how do you actually do it? And that's right. What a health coach really helps with.
Right. Wow. Wow.
So I'm doing that. So if anybody, and I have some openings.
Yeah. Okay. How do we reach you? How do we follow you? What do we do? Where do we go?
You can go to my comedy site, which is BetsySalkind.com. And there's a link there to Heretic Health Advocates.
Okay.
Which tells all about that business. Or you can go to HeretickHealthAdvocates.com.
Right.
Or org, either one. And
how do we find out how to survive sexual abuse and become a happily married 15-year marriage, wildly successful comedian,
just
writer?
Just contact me. But I would say the main thing is, and I think this is what's always helped me with all of these things, is I've never really taken any of it personally. It affects me personally, but I've always seen it in a context of a larger political situation. It's like, well, why is this? I never thought it was just me. I always saw what are the patterns here and how do we really address it that way?
Right.
You know, I see it as children's civil rights more than anything else.
Right.
And that helps a lot. It helps to understand your experience in the larger world and to place it somewhere.
Yeah. Can I follow that extremely moving, inspirational moment with just can you wave goodbye as the squirrel in some way? Could you? Oh, okay. There's the squirrel. Okay. The squirrel saying goodbye. All right. Betsy Salkind, you are just a thing of magic and beauty and love and kindness. And Betsy Salkind,
well, that was
everybody.
Quite an interview.
Betsy fucking Salkind is in the goddamn house. I love you, Betsy Salkind.
Thank you, Stephanie. Thank you. Yeah.